Look, it's not as if I want to be a time traveler or anything. I really have a lot of other things going on that keep me busy, such as school and, you know, stuff. I also happen to be a kid, 12 3/4 years old, to be exact, which means you can be sure no one is going to pay me to go bouncing across the centuries. I don't even get paid for doing chores or homework. And it's not my fault that my phone happens to have an app on it called iTime. It wasn't meant for me, that much I can tell you. To complicate matters, there are these two other kids, Bev and Brandon, who also have the iTime app on their phones. I wouldn't call them my friends, exactly, though we have gotten to know each other a little better since our first adventure. In case you haven't heard about it, we only rescued General George Washington from being shot dead as a doornail, and then helped him defeat the Hessians at the Battle of Trenton. So, thanks to us, the United States of America is alive and well. And you are very welcome. We've been thrown together, Bev and Brandon and me. We're the only kids at the Fredericksville school who didn't go home for the Christmas holidays. Our parents are kind of busy, is the thing. So they call us the left behinds. 2 seconds ago, we hit the submit button on our iTime apps and went from the 18th century to the 21st. The plan was to hop over to the school, grab something to eat, maybe take a hot shower, and then open the presents our parents had shipped, because today still is, after all, Christmas Day. So we land on our butts, right where we should be, in the basement of Taylor's General Store on the grounds of Washington Crossing Historic Park. The problem is, we're not alone. There's this crazy old guy who's kind of yelling at us. His name is Professor Moncrief, and he is the inventor, or rather the co-inventor, along with his former student, of the iTime app. We've just been told that the former student has gone bad. Name of Curtis. He's out to make $1 billion or so off the iTime app, for one thing. For another, he intends to go back in time and change things, just to prove that he can cause trouble, because that's what he likes to do. There's also our teacher, Mr. Hart, whose job is to go with us everywhere. He sort of missed the boat on the time travel thing, but he did keep in touch via text. And please don't ask me how a guy can text from one century to the next. I don't even know how electricity works, according to Ben Franklin. That's right, the Ben Franklin. But I already told that story. Lastly, there are these military-type guys in the room. Each one wears mirrored sunglasses and stands with his arms folded across his chest. The message? We mean business.
Children, Professor Moncrief says now, we do not have all the time in the world, to use the word time in its most traditional sense. Please give me your phones. They must be deprogrammed.
Children? Who does this old dude think he's talking to? Second graders? Give me a break. But the girl child among us, that would be Bev, doesn't seem to take offense. She's smart, Bev is. She's so smart, she doesn't ever let you forget it, which is annoying. What's the hurry? Asks Bev. Professor Moncrief doesn't like the question. He frowns, and his dull blue eyes narrow further, if that's even possible. You can tell he thinks Bev's an impertinent smarty pants.
We don't have time to debate this, Professor Moncrief says. As we speak, Curtis is meddling in an event that could prove catastrophic if he is not hunted down and brought to heel. This unauthorized time travel adventuring must be stopped. My men are professional trackers. They will find Curtis, I assure you. Now, hand over your phones.
No way, Brandon says. Normally, Brandon's a pretty mellow dude. He doesn't worry himself over trifles like homework or good grades. But right now, Brandon's not buying it.